Welcome back to our next message on Amos. This is iFaith 94. Yes, I'm still here in Tallinn, Estonia. And I've entitled this, The Challenge of Amos, Prepare to Meet Your God. So far, we saw that Amos preaches a God of justice. And that means that our faith, our entire religion, is invalidated if we're not concerned for justice, for the needy, for the poor, for equity. Unless the wealthy, the powerful, the nonchalant start caring about the world's problems and the needy in their own midst, they will be judged. Amos says that the powerful aren't the only guilty ones. So it's not just the powerful women and the upper class men. It's everybody. It's people in business. It's even the poor. Everyone is complicit. Now, the message of Amos applies to our modern world. It doesn't map over perfectly, but it applies very well and is profoundly relevant to our world. If we're ever unsure how to translate the words of the prophets into our situation, look to Jesus, who gives us direction, and look to his apostles, whom he trained. That is, read the letters, read Acts, and especially read the Gospels. What does Jesus show us? Well, in a politically diverse landscape, very diverse, Jesus was unaligned. He wasn't for this party or that party, but not because he was apathetic. He had something far better than anything those various groups were agitating for, whether it was the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Zealots, the Herodians, the Essenes, the scribes. See, Jesus was busy preaching the kingdom of God, and God's kingdom was represented by none of the political options of his day. I also observed that Jesus was not afraid to speak truth to power, though he didn't focus there. Jesus unites his followers. Politics normally divides people. This is not the way of Jesus. And as he touched lives, he refused to use the weapons and ways of the world. The Apostle Paul says people might think we'll fight the way the world does, but those are not our weapons. I'm referring to 2 Corinthians 10. But what are the ways of the world? What are the weapons of the world? And these are the tools of many politicians as well. Coercion, selfishness, slander, boasting, pursuit of power, rudeness, misrepresentation, self-promotion. It's so sad, but this is not the way it's to be among us, Jesus says. That's the way the Gentiles do it. They lord it over one another, Mark 10, but not you. So we look at Jesus, he has at least as much conviction as Amos. Jesus will show us how to think about current issues and care without getting sucked into the vortex and becoming worldly and destroying Christian unity. Well, let me read the passage in Amos 4 from which today's iFaith message receives its name. I overthrew some of you as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were like a brand, a firebrand, snatched from the fire. Yet you did not return to me, says the Lord. Therefore, thus I will do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel. Prepare to meet your God. The amazing thing is that many people in Israel's day thought that if God intervened, this would be great news. It's like a lot of people today who read their Bible, maybe not as much as they should, but they believe, yes, we want Jesus to come back and we want the second coming to happen. And yet they falsely imagine that they're prepared for such an event. We'll come to that in a minute. I'll explain what I mean by this. So why talk about Jesus when we're studying Amos? Because Amos and the rest of the Old Testament was the Bible for Jesus in the early church. So it's not surprising that the apostles have a passion to help the poor, like Paul, Galatians 2:10. That James, the brother of Jesus, in James 1:26, 27, says that the only religion that God accepts is the kind that cares about the orphan, the widow, that cares about those in pain. In the famous parable, the third and final parable of Matthew 25, when Jesus says, I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was sick, I was in prison, he refers to himself and he charges us all to care about our brothers and sisters in such position. See, for us, listening to the call of Amos means that we will be walking in the steps of Jesus. Now, this thing about the day of the Lord. Listen to this. This is from Amos 5. Alas for you who desire the day of the Lord. Why do you want the day of the Lord? It is darkness, not light. I think he's saying it's the opposite of what you think. And then he says, is not the day of the Lord darkness, not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? Because the day of the Lord is a day when justice is done. And it doesn't matter how religious we've been. If justice isn't our concern, we're on the wrong side of judgment. We're on the wrong side. Therefore, thus I will do to you, O Israel of God, let me add of God to apply it to the church. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel of God. What should we do? What does this mean? Well, to apply the book of Amos, of course, it helps to read the whole book of Amos. Don't be like me until 10 years ago, where I'd read it a number of times, but I think I always read it a bit too quickly. To put it together and to see specifically what God is saying. You may not have a lot of money. You may not have a lot of time, but I've got ideas that can help either way. One is, invite someone to live with you. Maybe a younger person, someone who doesn't have money, doesn't even have money for rent. It's very powerful when we can provide a place to live for others. Money you would normally spend on holiday, vacation, Christmas, trips, spend less, scale it back. Use more money to help the needy. When it comes to viewing things on the internet or television, watch less sports, more international news. Pay attention to what's going on in the world. Better yet, get rid of the TV. Save a lot of time and money. Adopt a child. I know, that's not cheap. But sometimes we can share resources. We can help someone else to adopt. We may not have enough, but we can help them, or maybe they can help us to adopt a child. Spend time with older people, with the elderly, many of whom are confronted with the prospect of their nearing death in a way they never were before, especially if they're alone. We have people like this in our life right now, and many of you have been through this, perhaps with aged parents. Listen to people's stories. Become informed. And when it comes to all these issues of social justice, issues of gender equality, of race, of fairness, listen to opposing viewpoints. Don't just read the fellow who agrees with you. Read someone on the opposite side. And then summarize what he or she has written. And not just, oh yeah, here are the seven things that were wrong. No. Okay, here are five good points that were made. And here are four or five concerns I have. That's a much better way to read. Respect those who hold different positions. Don't be so high and mighty. But sadly, most people don't read it all. And if they do, they've already decided what to believe. Study the book of Amos. Immerse yourself in the prophets. The prophets call us back to Torah, back to God's law. God's law, which equips the Jewish people to live justly, to create a just society, to know their God. The Torah is amazing. The prophets simply call people to Torah, and the rest of the Old Testament, the writings like Psalms and Proverbs, are further reflections on this. And this is the Bible of the early church. Immerse yourself in the prophets. These prophets had an impact on Jesus and on the early church. Well, I've given you some ideas. Whether you have a lot of money or not, you can read the prophets, you can visit the elderly, you can spend less at holiday time, share your life with people. But God's justice is revealed in Jesus Christ, nowhere more than on the cross, on what Jesus did. God condemned sin. And so we take seriously what this means, the implications. And the implication is not, oh, God wants everyone on the planet to have a comfortable life. No. The implications have to do with justice, forgiveness, and the kingdom of God. And so if we're not attempting to share that kingdom of God, to show what God is doing on this planet with others, we're not just. We're not being fair. We have this incredible treasure, and we won't share it. Last week I watched a film about a fellow who gets very angry because the drug that would have saved his wife's life, she was dying of cancer, it was taken off the market for political and profitable reasons, and he goes crazy and starts attacking and killing. Okay, I understand that. We can get angry, but how we deal with that, is it godly? What are the things that upset you and me? Are we responding the way Jesus would? So let's read the book of Amos, and that's the message for today. Now, in iFaith 95, we're going to come to the last of the 8th century prophets. This will be the last study in this unit, and that, of course, is Micah. But for now, think about these things, and let us prepare, and let's truly be prepared to meet our God. Everything we need to do, it's in the Scripture. Read it. Let the Spirit move us. Talk about it with each other. Live it out in our lives. Share the good news. The good news is not just a message about wealth. It's a message of what God is doing in this world. And we're on the side of justice. Not only if we're living justly and caring for the needy, we're on the side of justice if we're sharing about God's justice with others. That is, we're opening our mouths and we're talking to others about the Lord. Are you doing that? Thank you for listening.